Dick, I want to start with... On that day, let us solemnly remember the sacrifices of all those who fought so valiantly on the seas, in the air, and on foreign shores to preserve our heritage of freedom, and let us reconsecrate ourselves to the task of promoting an enduring peace so that their efforts shall not have been in vain. So said Dwight Eisenhower in his proclamation creating Veterans Day. Today is Veterans Day. World War II veteran Dick Phelan defied the odds. He survived the sinking of the USS Indianapolis. Nearly 1,200 sailors on board the USS Indianapolis when a Japanese submarine torpedoed the heavy cruiser early in the morning of July 30th, 1945. Dick Phelan on board. This is his part of his story, beginning with how he joined the military in the first place. Go ahead. Dick, I want to start with, I want to go all the way back to the beginning of World War II. When did you first learn that the United States had been attacked at Pearl Harbor? When did you first learn that we were under attack? And what was your response?
Good question. My mother and dad lived, a grandfather, my father, they lived in Fowler, Michigan. We would go there put there every Sunday. We came back about 6 o'clock that night, and Dad would give me some money, and I'd go around Warner's drugstore around the corner and get the ice cream. When I got in that store, there was men talking about where Pearl Harbor was bombed, we're at war. Of course, me, 14 years old, I didn't quite understand all of it. So I come home, told my dad and mother, well, they turned the radio on, and that's when we found out Sunday night that we're in war. And I was only 13, 14 years old. A lot of people think I knew all about this ship for years, but I was only 14 years old when World War II started. See, I was 14 and peddling papers.
So you grew up as a teenager with the war basically going on in the papers that you were delivering.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, different than war. And, of course, at 13, 14, 15 years old, you don't pay much attention. But then when you get 16, 17, I had some older friends, and they started going into service. And before you know it, I was had to go myself. In other words, I never dreamed, say at 14 years old, when the war started, I'd be involved in the war. You don't think of things like that. And a year goes, two or three years goes on, then you look at it differently.
So you're in boot camp. President Roosevelt is basically the only president you had ever known.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And everybody ridiculed Harry Truman, a little bitty guy, you know, and a lot of cheap talk about him being a good president, but he turned out to be a real good president. He made the big decision about the bomb.
Which changed your life.
That's right. And also, he kicked MacArthur out. So, of course, that's a long story by itself.
Yeah. So you leave boot camp. You don't know anything about the USS Indianapolis.
No.
You get assigned to this boat. Tell me about those days and the first days on the ship.
Well, let me tell you how I got signed. If you would.
Yes.
Our company, I think around 240, if I remember, alphabetical order. We went to Shoemaker, California. My man, I went to the Navy, he lived across the street. Andrews is his last name. He was alphabetical. He was way down to the other end. I was way down. The officer told the house guys to count out 1-2, 1-2. You know, and we did. Otto, my friend, was 1. I was 2. The 1 step forward. They went to Bremerton, Washington, to board to New Jersey. The 2 went aboard the Indianapolis and Mare Island. We both went to the officer and tried to go the same direction. He got on one bus, and I got another bus, and went 2 different directions. So he never had any problems at all. But everybody asked me, how could I get signed aboard the Indianapolis? Well, that's how I got signed up. It's strictly by luck or unlucky, what I'm saying. And that's the way it was. But we wanted to go the same direction, and the officer said to me, or said to us, if I let you guys change, there'd be 50 more behind you. The Navy don't operate that way. So that took care of that right quick.
So you got on the Indianapolis.
Yep.
What month was it?
May. It was in dry dock at the time, and they sent me to 20 millimeter gunner school, firefighter school. I was a little over a week and a half or so.
Sure.
And I reported back to the ship. We was living in barracks. And they put me in my... Any welder, any civilian welder on a Navy ship has to have a Navy personnel with a man with a fire extinguisher. That's Navy regulation. So they put me with this man. Okay, I did that for 5 to 6 weeks. Same man. Nice guy. I did a lot of reading. Because where he was welding steel all around, there was no chance of fire. He just, but the Navy regulations. And anyhow, when it got ready, got repaired, we had a small shakedown cruise. Then we went down to Hunters Point, San Francisco, and that's where we lowered the bomb.
So let me ask you about this. First of all, for people that don't know, the USS Indianapolis, what kind of ship was it?
It's a heavy cruiser. It's a gunship. 20 millimeters and 40 millimeters and 5.28s, they call it, and 9 8-inch guns. It was guns or ship for bombing islands. You know what I'm saying?
It had firepower.
Oh, a lot of firepower, you bet. Okay, it was 610 feet long, 3 football fields, so it had a lot of guns on it. And I was on a 20 millimeter.
So you go to San Francisco. Is that what you said, San Francisco, where you got on the ship and they
yes.
loaded it? Tell me about that. Did you guys know what the payload was? Did you know what was on the boat when you were headed across the Pacific?
Okay. We lowered the bomb on, and normally they tell me after a day or so, they go full speed with the ship, see if everything's working good. And we just camp it up. For 9 days, we set a record between United States and Tinian. For 9 days, the ship would just rumble. And all the old-timers, I talked to quite a few of them, what the hell's our hurry?
Fact of the matter is, you had a war to end. That was the hurry. 9 days, all-time speed record, cruising at about 35 miles an hour. Most people heard about the USS Indianapolis from the movie Jaws, but we're hearing it from the real veteran, Dick Thelen. We'll continue with his story on Veterans Day 2019 right here on The Steve Huber Show in just a moment.
You're not wired to have a response to this sound. You're neutral to it. You hear it every time you finish a meal and never feel anything. But if we were able to associate this sound with a new stimulus, save the food, we've achieved pulling a natural response from you. Save the food. Why are we doing this, you may ask? Save the food. Because this ad is trying to change your after-meal behavior through brainwashing. Because food waste costs the average family $1,500 a year. Save the food. Cha-ching. And $1,500 extra is like getting a pay raise. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Which could pay for your child's braces. Save the food. Cha-ching.
You're promoted.
Check out my braces.
So, when you hear this sound, rethink your behavior. Cook it, store it, share it. Just don't waste it. For tips and recipes, visit savethefood.com. Brought to you by NRDC and the Ad Council.